You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to tonight's broadcast of the award-winning Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, July the 11th, year of our Lord, 2015. I'm happy to be here with you tonight as we continue to document this Southern uprising that is taking place all across Dixie. I think we've spent large parts of the last two live broadcasts covering this as it continues to unfold and play out. Of course, as we know, the great Christian symbol of resistance to tyranny that is the St. Andrew's Cross, otherwise known as the Confederate flag, as we all understand it to be, has come under fire in the wake of what's happened in Charleston. They knew they couldn't go after gun control so easily, so they couldn't let this opportunity pass without seizing upon something that they hated. And so they latched on to the Confederate flag. Well, the rebellion, if I may use that term, continues. The establishment media's attack on the Confederate battle flag has failed. In the wake of the Dylann Roof shooting spree in Charleston, the establishment media, which is never content to let a crisis go to waste, seized on this tragedy to launch a disgusting, opportunistic campaign of cultural genocide to demonize the Confederate battle flag and eradicate Confederate monuments in the public square across the southern states. A ray of hope, ladies and gentlemen, there is always one. If you rely on the establishment media to give you all of your information, you're going to be lacking the things we will bring to your attention over the course of this broadcast, things we have brought to your attention over the course of the last 2 weeks on this show. But the latest polls, according to USA Today, CNN, Gallup poll, an official poll, shows that the opinions on the Confederate battle flag reflect a deep and justified distrust of the media. A media which, according to a separate poll, retains the confidence of only one-fifth of Americans. Only one-fifth of Americans place their trust in the media not to be biased. That means four-fifths agree with us. But even more impressive was this. This is, according to CNN, American public opinion on the Confederate flag remains about the same as to where it was 15 years ago, with the majority of those responding to the poll describing the flag as a symbol of Southern pride. The poll shows that 57% of Americans see the Confederate flag as a symbol of Southern pride, which is about the same as the results that were generated in the year 2000, 15 years ago, when 59% said they viewed it as a symbol of pride, as opposed to a symbol, of course, as hate and all of these other things, which, of course, it is not. So in the last 15 years, favorable opinion of the flag has only dropped 2%, and it is still a majority, 57%, down from 59% 15 years ago. And this is in the wake of this incessant drumbeat of hatred against the Confederate flag since Charleston. And, of course, you have to factor in the percentage of people who are telling the pollsters what they want to hear rather than what the individual actually believes. And you still get 57%. So after pouring all of this effort into this insane campaign to ban everything from the Dukes of Hazzard to Gone with the Wind to Aunt Jemima's syrup and Uncle Ben's rice, the American public has had enough of this charade and remains unconvinced that what happened in Charleston had anything to do with the Confederate flag. That's encouraging. All right, the American public undoubtedly remembers that the media blamed Sandy Hook on the Second Amendment, Hurricane Katrina on global warming, and the death of Michael Brown in Ferguson on bloodthirsty, cold-blooded, racist police officers with nothing better to do than to shoot poor, innocent black men with their hands raised up in an act of surrender. People are seeing through these lies. They're seeing through this lie now on the Confederate flag front. And so this egregious attack on our heritage and this symbol of pride has resulted in the organizing of pro-Confederate flag rallies in every southern state, and not just throughout the South, ladies and gentlemen, but in places as far away as Arizona, Ohio, and even Oregon. This southern uprising erupted last week and has only strengthened in force since then. In the past 2 weeks, listen to me here, folks, nearly 100 Confederate flag rallies have drawn thousands, tens of thousands of people. Truly, that is not an exaggeration. One event in Montgomery, Alabama alone had over 1,000 people by conservative estimates. There have been many, many others with several hundred. Now, yes, some of them go down to a handful or a couple dozen. But I would say on average, these nearly 100 rallies have drawn in excess of a couple hundred people. So this is a good thing. And to list all of the rallies that have occurred in the last few days, these spontaneous rallies would be too much. It would take up too much time. But you can go to our website. Our website has gotten more traffic in the last 2 weeks than at any point in the 10-year history of this broadcast. Our web ratings and web traffic are higher now than at any point in the history of this show. I'm very proud about that because we're reporting the truth on a very hot topic. And the truth is something that's being certainly suppressed by our peers in the establishment media. You can go to our website, though, and get the complete rundown of all of the rallies that have taken place. More are being planned. More will be carried out in the days to come. Again, stay tuned to thepoliticalcesspool.org and this radio program for all of the details. But so certainly there's two ways you can look at this. Is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? If you look to Columbia, South Carolina, where just today, in a very sickening and disgusting display of craven cowardice on behalf of the leadership in the Republican Party in South Carolina, that dignified and noble banner, the St. Andrew's Cross, was pulled down from the State House grounds, presumably never to fly again. You could look at that and say, you know what, we're getting our backsides handed to us. They're taking down the flag. They're defacing monuments. They're desecrating graves. You know, right here in the city of Memphis, they have passed a resolution, the city council did, to dig up the remains of Nathan Bedford Forrest, to dig up the remains of someone who has been laid to his eternal rest and gone on to receive his eternal reward. That is an act of bloodthirsty barbarism. Their hatred runs so deeply that it's impossible for people like us to fully comprehend and fathom. People like us who are motivated by a sense of duty and honor to our family, to our traditional ways of life, people motivated by love and respect of our heritage and our ancestors, we can't truly fathom the amount of hatred that is directed at us by those who oppose our people and the symbols that we hold so dear. But let me tell you something, folks. When you get to the point where you want to dig up the graves of people you hate, that is a hatred not known to anybody that I know, and certainly not known by me. So you can look at these things and you say, folks, it's over. It's not over. It's not over, and I'll tell you why right after this commercial break.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. So, as I was saying before the break, there's two ways you can look at this insatiable hatred being directed at our people, the good people of the South, the God-fearing, hard-working, tax-paying men and women who are truly being oppressed and are truly, I feel, having their civil rights be infringed upon. You could look at it and say, well, my God, I saw it. It was on all the networks. They took down the Confederate flag on the state grounds of Columbia, South Carolina. Yeah, you heard about that. I have no doubt you heard about that because it was everywhere today. It was disgusting. It was sickening. It was everywhere. Let me tell you what wasn't everywhere. How about this? In Marion County, Florida, this is according to the Washington Times. Jessica Chasmar wrote the article. Marion County, Florida. This is, if anyone's familiar with Central Florida, Ocala, Florida is the big city in Marion County. It's about an hour north of Orlando. The Marion County Commission in Marion County, Florida, unanimously agreed on Tuesday to restore the Confederate flag at their governmental complex following public backlash over its removal 2 weeks ago. So they got caught up in this anti-Confederate, anti-Southern hysteria, and they took down the flag 2 weeks ago. But guess what? They put it back up today, and let me tell you why. The story reads that interim county administrator Bill Kaufman decided to remove the flag initially because of the, quote, perceived connotations of displaying the flag at governmental agencies. That's why it went down 2 weeks ago, the Ocala Star-Banner reported. But on Tuesday, residents showed up to the commission's bi-monthly meeting to speak out about the decision to remove the flag. Everyone there was in favor of restoring the flag, and that is exactly what the county government in Marion County, Florida did. One resident said, "That flag is a symbol of my heritage, a symbol of where I come from. I want to see that beautiful flag put back on the flagpole where it belongs." After hearing the comments about the issue, Are you listening to me? Listen up. Listen clearly. The county commission in this particular county voted unanimously to restore the Confederate flag. Unanimous consent to restore the Confederate flag. So, yes, they are shouting from the rooftops in the places where we have craven, sellout, traitorous individuals who are complicit in this attack, this cultural genocide on our heritage. What you're not hearing about is situations like this in Ocala, Florida, where by unanimous consent, the government is rehoisting the flag. But you heard about it here on the Political Cesspool. How about this story? This is an amazing story. And a true act of civil rights heroism and defiance by a Southern patriot. Johnny Cooper, a 60-year-old man from Hazel Green, Alabama, says that America is losing its way, and that's a message he intends to carry along the highways from Montgomery, Alabama to Washington, D.C. This man is walking from Montgomery, Alabama to Washington, Tennessee, toting a Confederate battle flag. He's making this journey by foot to push back against what he considers, according to this newspaper report, to be the abandonment of the United States Constitution. He opposes the efforts to purge the Confederate battle flag from public spaces, as well as the Supreme Court's ruling to legalize homosexual marriage. All pillars of our society are just coming off, said Johnny Cooper. He left the state capitol in Montgomery on the 4th of July and had made it as far as Moreland, Georgia on Tuesday night when he took a few minutes to conduct this interview that I'm reading from on his cell phone. As we sit tonight listening to this radio program, wherever you're tuned in from, he is continuing on this journey, walking with a Confederate flag from Alabama to Washington, D.C. He said his goal is to preserve for his children some of the heritage of the greatest country the world had ever seen. He said that those who consider the battle flag to be a symbol of racism and hatred don't know its history. Of course, we've covered the true history of the war between the states over the course of the last two programs. We've done it very well. If you've missed the last two shows, folks, you got to go back in our archives and listen to it. But there's this picture, and I just want to say, God bless you, Mr. Cooper. This man is a retired electronics technician. He's a maintenance man, and he opined to this reporter that he sees an inconsistency in the crusade against so-called offensive symbols, bringing up the fact that where was the lack of media outcry against the illumination of the White House in rainbow colors to celebrate the Supreme Court's decision with regard to so-called homosexual marriage? He says there's 200 million Christians in this country. Where's the media on that? Why aren't they worried about them being offended? And of course, there's the great double standard. The number of people who pretend to be offended by the Confederate flag, and you know, they didn't figure out they were offended until, what, 2 weeks ago? The people who claim to be, you know, this perpetually aggrieved underclass who, this chronic malcontent segment of our country who all of a sudden is aggrieved by the Confederate flag. So you take down the Confederate flag. What about the 200 million Christians that Mr. Cooper brings up that are offended by homosexual marriage? You know, where's the media on that? Why aren't we making sure that all homosexual pride flags are stripped down from the public square? It's a great point, but this is a picture of in this article of this man. God bless him. This man's 60 years old, and he's got a 5-year-old son. His youngest child is 5 years old. His name is Jack. And it shows a picture of him and this 5-year-old precious child walking up the steps of the state capitol in Montgomery, Alabama, together. This man holding his flag, about to leave his family to walk to Washington, D.C. to stand up for what he believes in. Folks, it gives me chills. My eyes are welled up just thinking about that's the kind of man that built this country. And if America is ever going to restore her destiny, it's going to be men like Johnny Cooper who do it. But you didn't hear about his sacrifice. You didn't hear about this story unless you were reading a local Alabama newspaper. But it's out there. In a related note, I received the following touching email a couple of days ago from a political cesspool listener in Columbia, South Carolina. I'd like to read it to you. The local television news reported, of course, that the Confederate flag would be coming down here in Columbia within 24 hours. So he sent me this email day before, I guess it was Thursday. I left work early to take my kids by the state capitol complex to get a picture of them with the flag. I want them to remember that they were alive during a better time when this flag still flew, a time when their state tried to show the world that they were strong and brave. I explained to my 5-year-old son that bad guys want to take down our family's flag, and the leaders of South Carolina are scared. My son asked me, how did they get to be the leaders of South Carolina? And for that, I did not have a good answer. The pain hit me today when it was announced that the flag's final moments to fly will be before it comes down at 10 a.m. The disgusting media frenzy outside of the State House makes my skin crawl. Countless vans with satellites and out-of-town reporters with pop-up tents have been on the grounds since the shootings in Charleston occurred. When we were taking pictures this morning, I carefully walked my children into this pit of vipers. Hundreds of video cameras were filming as my children and I walked up to take pictures with the flag. Everyone seemed to assume that we were part of the anti-flag protest until I put my little girl down on the monument steps and told her to smile at the camera. A young metrosexual male walked past us as we left and gave me an irritated look of both disgust and confusion over why a normal person like myself would take my 5-year-old son and 2-year-old daughter to take these pictures. But I could not let this moment pass without getting this memento for their lifetime. I realize many good things are going on elsewhere with the Confederate flag rallies that y'all have talked about on the show, but please put us citizens of the city of Columbia, South Carolina, in your prayers this week. We are badly wounded. Brother, your prayers are with us, and I truly believe that God hears the prayers of righteous men. And I say again, if America is ever to be restored, it will be people like this man who took his children to take a picture with that flag in Columbia before they took it down today, and men like Johnny Cooper, who's walking to Washington, D.C. with the Confederate flag. These are the people who built America. They'll be the ones to take it back. We'll be back right after this.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party.us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are under attack. We are under siege. You really don't know to the extent I truly mean that. Well, maybe I can talk about that at another time, but I'm so tempted to tell you. But this is something that our people have not taken lightly. Our people are rallying in defense of their forebears. And I'm doing the same thing. You know, this is what people devoid of a heart, people devoid of familial bonds and blood ties, that they can't understand what motivates honorable people such as ourselves to defend the flag that our ancestors died under. This is family. It's a family issue. It's personal. We cannot, at least I cannot, maybe lesser people can, I cannot walk away from this. I do want to share with you, though, I was talking in the last segment about Johnny Cooper, that brave patriot who's walking from Alabama to Washington with the Confederate flag, who took his son with him, his five-year-old son with him, to the state capitol building in Montgomery, Alabama, before he set off on his trek. And then this gentleman in South Carolina who walked into the viper's nest, as he called it, with his five-year-old son and two-year-old daughter to take a picture with the flag right before they tore it down. I can relate to that more than you know. In fact, I had a very memorable Independence Day weekend. I wrote about this, and I actually put pictures of this on our website. I would encourage you to check them out because this is what it's all about. I went down to Thaxton, Mississippi. You've probably never heard of Thaxton, Mississippi, but that's where my maternal grandparents are from. It's about 2 hours southeast of Memphis in Pontotoc County in Mississippi. The population of the town of Thaxton is 664 people, according to the last census. It's 99.24% white. Those are the demographics, so you know how horrible it must be down there. But that's where my people are from. And I took a long weekend for the 4th of July, and on Friday, I took my wife and children down to Thaxton. I hadn't been down there in years. My great-grandparents all passed away a long time ago. Even now, all four of my grandparents have gone on to heaven. But it's important to me that my children know where they came from and that they have a respect and a reverence for our ancestors. And we had ancestors that fought for the South, so it goes all the way back to them and even beyond. But we went down to Pontotoc County, Mississippi. We visited Thaxton. The first thing we did upon our arrival was to visit this Confederate square. Right in front of the town or the county courthouse, there's Confederate Square in Pontotoc County. We paid our respect to this beautiful monument that is proudly featured at its center. There are hundreds of Confederate monuments that serve as the centerpiece of town and county squares all across Dixie. But the inscription on the one in Pontotoc County reads, "Love's tribute to the soldiers who marched beneath the stars and the bars and who were faithful to their duty. This monument is erected in grateful remembrance." The front of the monument simply reads, "Our heroes." Excuse me. 1861 to 1865. The soldier atop the monument, as always, is facing south. And I held my five-year-old daughter and my eight-month-old son, and we shared a moment of reflection at that monument. And we strolled down the main street there, and we visited the local shops, and we talked to the rural townspeople. We enjoyed a great catfish lunch at one of the family-owned diners before visiting the town museum, which is free of charge and located inside the post office. It would be impossible for me to describe how charming and enjoyable the day was. But you may be asking, though, again, why go to Pontotoc County of all places? You could visit a Confederate monument like that in any town square, any county across the South, and there are hundreds of them. But, of course, as I already mentioned, the reason is family. My father's side of the family, the Edwardses, hail from Corinth, Mississippi, which is right on the Tennessee-Mississippi border further north of Pontotoc County. But my mother's side, the McGregors, great Scottish name, the McGregors, come from the small town of Thaxton, which is in Pontotoc County. And so after we spent some time there in Town Square in Pontotoc, we went over to Thaxton. Now, Thaxton, again, population 664, is literally made up of three buildings, a town hall, a small grocery store with a single gas pump, and a Baptist church. That's it. Three buildings. That's all there is to Thaxton. And then, of course, you know, houses scattered about the square mileage that consists of the town limits of Thaxton. But I took a great amount of pride in being able to visit the graves of my maternal great-grandparents. And even though my children can never have the honor of knowing them, it still means so much to me to be able to teach them about who their grandparents and great-grandparents were. And, well, they're my great-grandparents. They would be my children's, of course, great-great-grandparents. Thankfully, my parents are still alive, so my children still have grandparents. Of course, my grandparents and great-great-grandparents and great-grandparents have all gone on. But anyway, to let my children know who their great-grandparents were is very important to me. And it's important to me to raise my children and to lead my family in the same traditions that were handed down to me. These were great people in every way that one can be great. And so I take my role as a husband and a father very seriously. It's hugely important to me that my children be raised to be Christian people, first and foremost, who love and respect their ancestors, who love and respect their cultural heritage. I am extraordinarily proud of my family's way of life and was taken aback to my childhood when we were down on this trip and I revisited the tiny community center in which so many of our reunions used to be held before so many people passed away. But the, you know, the place looked as it did in my earliest memories. In fact, the 1950 senior class photo of my maternal grandmother still hangs on the wall. Things don't change much in Mississippi. They've still got the Confederate flag as part of their official state flag, and that's one of the state's most endearing qualities. I'm proud to be a Tennessean. I was born here. My grandparents moved to Memphis to find work. That's where they had my parents. My, you know, so I guess I'm a second-generation Tennessean native born in my family. But beyond that, it all goes back to Mississippi. I think Mississippi is the greatest state in the Union. I'd rather be on a dirt road in Mississippi than strolling through the streets of Times Square. I've had CNN pay for me to travel first class up to New York to do tapings for them, limousine service, all of that, people airbrushing me before I went on television. I have experienced that. I'd rather be on a dirt road in Mississippi. And that's why those who hate us can't understand our unwillingness to abandon our customs and symbols. This is who we are, and it's personal. This is our family. It's personal. You will not sully the dignity and the honor and the legacy of our family. That's what it's all about. So it was a special day. That was a week ago Friday. So what, 8 days ago, right before the 4th of July. We didn't get back into Memphis until shortly before midnight. But I included pictures of this trip on our website. Go check them out. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. May God bless the South. May God bless the people who made her great, who are trying to see that she remains great, those in my family included. And some of the pictures we put up, pictures of me and my two kids at the monument, a picture of the Thaxton Town Hall. Now, you can imagine what the town hall looks like for a town that has a population of 600 people. It's not much, but it means a lot. My grandfather used to play dominoes there on the porch, visited the graves of my great-grandparents, my children's great-great-grandparents. and put a picture of that up on the website. There's also this picture that really sums up what I mean by faith and heritage. There's a picture of the Baptist church there, the water tower that says Thaxton on it. And below that, the church with the steeple and the cross at the top. Faith and heritage, folks. That's what motivates us. Listen, I don't do this radio show because it's profitable. This radio show has cost me more than, you know, in terms of what the world can give you, than most people would ever be willing to put on the table. But I have gained such a wonderful sense of doing one's duty. I've met so many great people. It's been worth it 100 times over. The price I've paid in having my name slandered and libeled by the media, being called all of these horrible defamations that they bestow upon me and my family and you and anyone who essentially is a Christian, anyone who reveres the South. Look, we're all Confederates now. We are all Confederates now. I'll be back.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks. The culture war Is it over or is it hotter than ever before? I think you could effectively argue either way on that question. I say it's hotter than ever before, and I say it's going to get hotter, and they're going to come after the Christians. They're going to come after the church. This is their ultimate goal to begin with anyway, and this is why they're attacking the Confederate flag. Listen, we have gone in, as I've mentioned, if you've missed the shows the last 2 weeks, please go back in the archives if this is a topic that interests you, because I think we've done a very good job of presenting the case that the war was not fought over the things the media lies to you and says that it was. But if we haven't done a good case, I'm going to spend the first 30 minutes of the second hour coming up breaking it down as succinctly and as factually as I can. It'll probably be the most comprehensive take that we've ever offered in terms of just packing a ton of information into a very short time. There's no way you can cover the cause and effect of the war between the states in two segments of commercial radio, but that's exactly what we're going to try to do. You know, the thing about this is you had dirt poor southern farmers fighting the most powerful army on earth because their land was being invaded. They thought, and I believe they were right, they had the authority to secede from a union that was violating their laws and customs. And it had nothing to do with slavery. Listen, folks, had nothing to do with slavery. I am going to prove that for you in the next hour, if you care. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, and most people already know that to be the case. And it's impossible for us to reach the number of people the entire establishment media and their echo chamber are reaching. So many Americans are incapable. Americans are ignorant and more stupid than ever before. Our brains are literally shrinking. We're devolving. Americans are incapable of having an intellectual conversation. I understand that. But we're going to go on the record because we know a lot of people are tuned into this show. We know law enforcement officials are tuned into this show. We know the media. I've been contacted by media every day this week. About the issues pertaining to the Confederate flag and Nathan Bedford Forrest. We know we're a program of record. We know all eyes are on us. And so for them, for what it's worth, and for you too, of course, you first. We're going to get into that in the next hour. So stay tuned for that. But if you think the war against righteousness is going to end with the Confederate flag, you are sorely mistaken. Don Lemon, a black commentator, a black anchor for CNN, said on his show this week, his television program on CNN, that now the time has come to, now that the Confederate flag has been taken down in South Carolina, and keep in mind, it's not being taken down everywhere. In fact, it's being put back up in some places. You've got to remember this. We've got to be consistent and look at the whole picture. But Don Lemon's under the impression that the Confederate flag is in the dustbin of history now. Now we need to move on to the next frontier. Don Lemon said, we need to rethink the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C. After all, Thomas Jefferson owned slaves. Oh, well, there you have it, folks. Hey, we're beyond the Confederacy now. Now let's just go after every great American that ever lived. Let's go after Thomas Jefferson. Let's get rid of the Jefferson Memorial. I have heard major commentators on these television networks, anchors, say, you know what? Why stop there? We need to rename Washington, D.C. After all, George Washington himself owned slaves. Yes, get rid of Washington. Rename Washington. Let's get rid of the American flag. I would agree with them on that, but not for the same reasons. The American flag flew over slavery a hell of a lot longer than the Confederate flag did. And even though slavery wasn't the cause for that war, and we know for a fact, if you don't believe it, I'm going to prove it again in the next hour. But we know for a fact it wasn't the South's insistence on keeping slavery intact that caused them to fight. If anybody that knows anything about history, and I know very few people do, we mentioned this last week on the show, Abraham Lincoln offered the Southern states a resolution making slavery permanent in the Southern states if they wouldn't fight the war. And he promised the full resources of the federal government to track down runaway slaves on behalf of the Southern slave owners if they would avoid war. If that was all the war was about, if that was what the war was about at all, the South would have taken that deal, no questions asked, spared the lives of 300,000 of their men, and moved on about their business. It wasn't what the war was about. I've even heard people say we need to change the Massachusetts state flag because the founders of Massachusetts fought with the Indians. I mean, this is how sick and how deep these roots of cultural genocide go. There is a war against our history. There is a war against our heritage. There is a war against our people. There is a war against European Americans that runs so deep. Again, it's hard for us to truly comprehend. You know, there was even, you know, the political cesspool got denounced on the record by the United States Congress earlier this year, and we're very proud about that. That's something we take a lot of pride in. One of the congressmen who denounced us was Representative Hakeem Jeffries of New York. He denounced us by name. He denounced me by name. And I want to be denounced by people like that. I want to be denounced by people who hate Christ. I want to be denounced by people who hate my family. I don't have anything in common with them. You know, I don't hate this guy, but I don't care what he thinks about me. But he was back in the news this week saying that if the South had won, he would still be a slave. It's impossible to imagine he could be that foolish. But let's pretend that he is that foolish. Everybody knows that by the late 19th century, slavery was on its way out everywhere. It would have ended in the South immediately after the war. You know, I think serious scholars agree on that, because we know that wasn't the issue that the war was fought over. But to think that if the South had won, he would still, he's from New York. I mean, how would he be a slave? Even if his wildest fantasy about what the South was about is true. But this is what we've got to deal with. This is who are in positions of power. You have this vile woman in South Carolina. I don't even know her name, but she says she, you know, descended from President Jefferson Davis, and she's in favor of taking down the flag, and she's screaming. There was actually some people in the South Carolina government, bless their hearts, that were against taking the flag down. Senator Lee Bright, there were a few others. Obviously, they were less than one-third, because it took a two-thirds majority to remove the flag. So you have less than one-third of the great state of South Carolina, their leaders, quote-unquote leaders, voting right on that. But you got this vile woman who claims direct descendant from Jefferson Davis screaming about taking down the flag. I mean, this is what, you know, pathological altruism. These people are sick. I'm not mad at her. I don't hate her, but she's ill. She's mentally ill. She hates herself. She hates her family. If she's a direct descendant from Jefferson Davis, my God, what an honor. And she's going to spit it. She hates America. She hates liberty. She hates our history. She has no idea what our history is, but yet she's a decision maker in the highest positions of power in South Carolina. But this is why this show exists, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you, as this decline in America continues, Time Magazine, we talked about this last week, I believe, Time Magazine has already called for the government to strip the churches of their tax-exempt status, to force the churches to perform homosexual marriages. Barack Obama has said Americans need to rethink their religious beliefs. The question then comes, what happens if we don't? Well, if history is any indicator, the answer to that is bloody and brutal. They will come after Christians. They're not stopping with the Confederate symbols. We already have, how much more evidence do you need? I already told you what Don Lemon said. Let's go after the Jefferson Memorial. Other major talking heads on major American television networks. Rename Washington, D.C. The Massachusetts flag is not even invulnerable. They're going after everything, and they believe that they can because they believe that our people won't stand up. Well, the people in the South are standing up. Yes, it's true. Tens of thousands of people in the South have rallied in defense of the flag. It is true that the government in Marion County, Florida, rehoisted the flag by unanimous consent. These are good things, but we need more people in positions of power. We have got, listen, we have got to have courage. We've got to have testicles at least the size of Rosa Parks. Now, I know the Zeitgeist totally supported Rosa Parks, and even though she was arrested for violating the state laws of Alabama at that time, the entire federal government apparatus, the entire national media was behind that movement. So she risked very little compared to what we are risking, because the entire federal government and the entire media is against us. It's a big difference. But we've at least got to have the bravery that they claim that she had. We've got to be willing to be inconvenienced. We have got to be willing to stand up for what we believe in. This is America. We have the freedom of speech, right? We have the right to peaceful assembly. We have the right to protest. We have got to get in the streets. People are doing it. We need people in power to take note of that. We've got to petition these people in power.
Another hour.
That Confederate Lives Matter. We're going
to
take a break.
Is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.